as we have State Senator Mike Groney joining us for our weekly legislative update. Good morning, Senator Groney.
How are you?
Doing well, thank you for asking. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Getting ready to head to Lincoln. We're at 4-day weeks, and we alternately take Mondays or Fridays off. We don't take it off. I mean, it's that day you're sitting, prepare and read bills and know what you're debating when you do get back.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be heading down today for hearings. We start half day floor debate tomorrow. And one of the bills is, which I always have a hard time voting for, but I should for political reasons, is LB 387 by my friend Senator Brewer, exempting retired military pay from state income taxes. A lot of states do it, but a lot of states don't spend like we do either. Somebody's got to pay for what we spend. And the problem with that is I like to use the word veteran, and but that's not true. It's for somebody who's served 20 years or more and gets military retirement. Won't have to pay taxes on their retirement, but if you, I had a brother who spent time in Southeast Asia. He's got a retirement too, but he doesn't get his retirement tax exempt, and neither does all the other grunts or whatever you want to call them who fought in the front lines and spent 4 years or 6 years or whatever in the military. Don't get their retirement money exempted. It's just the people who spent 20 years in the service. And they get a lot of, we treated them pretty well. They get all their medical free. They don't worry about Obamacare. They've always had that form of government medical. Not against them. I love them. They're good people. They work hard. They are an asset to the society, but who isn't? Well, I can name a few, but
don't even.
But anyway, it's a bill, and it's coming up, and I'll probably say a few words like that about what about the rest of our veterans out there that did their duty to the country, and you don't even know most of them are veterans. They don't talk about it. They just did their duty and went on with life. I was never in the service. It was just tiny. There was no conflict when I was age. When they weren't even taking anybody in after the Vietnam War. They were kicking people out instead, downsizing. But that said, it's one of those, you know, I've always said tax relief for everybody or tax relief for nobody because I don't like this special carving out niches of people who don't have to pay taxes who get benefits or who get economic development money. So anyway, but that bill's up tomorrow. There's some, you know, we do good things down there. A new Senator Rita Sanders is bringing one. She represents the Bellevue area where the office is, where people come in. We've been working on that since I've been down there. Somebody's stationed at office. They come in out of state, and their spouse is a teacher or sells insurance or, well, we wouldn't accept their teacher's license from another state. We made them take testing, and her bill says if you're you move into the state, military spouse, and you have a teacher's certificate, and you've been teaching in another state, you automatically, Nebraska automatically reciprocates that teacher's license. Just common sense. I don't think we got anything to brag about that our public education is better than anybody else's in the country. So the teachers are comparable and their training is comparable. But that bill will be up and I'll support it. Otherwise, tomorrow afternoon after Senator Linehan Revenue Committee said they're going to ZEC on bills, and then my first one up will be my LB 40, the rail yard incentive. And I should have more than enough support, hopefully an 8-0 vote. I don't know, but at least 6 out of 8. And that's my priority then. All the stars lining up, as you know. Got an opportunity to have a spur come out and advertise our community as our county and the whole area as a place that's manufacturing and and the distribution off the, you know, the, my friends are calling it, because I said it on the floor, that North Platte's rail classification yard was the O'Hara Airport, kind of, was comparable to O'Hara Airport in Chicago, where it's a huge transition location. And but they didn't let a Piper Cub land in O'Hara because it disrupted what their main mission was. That's kind of what the UP did to us for 100 years. And I think that's part of the animosity that's always a little bit between the railroad and the city, was they were their own entity within us, and appreciated the jobs, but they weren't that community-minded. They were world-minded more. But they're working with us, and the money's available. I mean, we got a bumper revenues coming in. It's Keynesian economics. The federal government pumps, what, we're pushing $4 trillion into the economy, but COVID-related. Biden's bill's going to be $1.9 billion, but that adds up to a lot of tax dollars being paid. People spend that money and get more sales taxes. And like a flame, though, too hot a flame, it burns out, and that's what worries me into the future. We can't keep having these programs every 6 months of a trillion. So old I am, I still fix my mind that $1 billion was a lot of money spent by the government. We don't mess with billions anymore. We mess with trillions. So, but the money's there. And at the time, rural Nebraska had some projects specific to them in economic development. So we'll see what happens. And it's up to the local folks to bring in some companies. And because they could get up to $40 million in assistance the way I got it written, the last amendment. The committee could change that. They think that's too high, but we shot for the stars and put a bigger chunk of money in there. That'll be my priority. And then I helped the rural fire departments, getting a lot of thank yous from rural fire chiefs who didn't know I even did it. Every rural fire department would get a $10,000 check if they're part of a mutual finance organization. $120,000 in fire protection in Lincoln County. There's 12 fire districts. That one, he better, because I'll be in his face if he isn't. Should be a speaker priority, because he's hinted he would do that. That came out of Committee 8-0 and had no opposition to it. And again, it's money that was intended for rural fire districts and has not been appropriated accordingly. We haven't kept up with the insurance policy taxes, 10% of that that goes into that. We haven't kept up with dividing it out to fire departments. Also, I'm confident I'm going to get that the voice analyzer bill out for the rural fire rural
for the sheriff's department,
county police department. I think I have the votes. I talked to Senator Brewer about getting it out of government committee, at least get it on the floor. But he's got some health issues, and he's in the hospital again today, kidneys.
No, Tom Brewer is?
Knowledge. Yeah.
Darn
so
it.
So he's a tough dude, though. And see a man handle the pain like he does. But it's going to be a day or two before I can ask him to do that. So that things are looking up. We are also, there's a little bill that should be on consent calendar I did for the local distillery, you know, Lazy Z, is it ranch whiskey made in Moorefield and Brady?
Oh, Lazy RW Distilleries?
Yep.
Yeah, there you go. We raised the amount they can make from 10,000 gallons to 100,000 gallons before they have classified as a manufacturer. Which is good. I mean, they can grow and still be a family-owned business, and that one should be on the floor, too. Came out of Committee 8-0, out of the General Affairs Committee, which I sit on now. There's a strategy why my last 2 years have put myself on certain committees.
Yeah, method of the madness.
They're working on the in-court bill. I need one more vote. I'm getting closer. But I'm sure somebody listening here will be calling Senator Hughes and telling what I said on the radio. But anyway... But we and I'm on that committee, so we're getting closer. Otherwise, it is, you know, it's going to be interesting. We're going to have a lot of social justice stuff come up, and thank God none of it's on the floor yet. But and also the discipline bill that I had on, you know, pushed so hard last 4 years or 6 years on education that it grew from that is will be coming out. Senator Walz and the five Democrats, liberals, I shouldn't even call them Democrats because I respect Democrats, but progressive socialists on the committee are going to take out all the protections for the teachers and all of the liability protections and protecting our children from physical harm out of the bill. And just do the training part of it that I wrote a year ago. That's still in there, pretty much same language. But Senator Merman and I are going to fight on the floor hard and put that back in. And we're not going to have an easy path. So that was the origin, the genesis of the whole thing, was protecting the, well, when you drop your kids off in front of the school, you feel safe that the custodial responsibility of those teachers, they can do it. Except your children and themselves. But anyway, though, that's going to be a big issue. It'll be a big fight on the floor. Also, I'm working on an amendment to LB 44, where Wayne did LB 866 last year to, you know, social engineering. Everybody's a racist. Everybody's against poverty. Every city, when they had a new development, had to have a low-income housing plan. Not the right terminology, but so when they did a plan or zoning, they had to make sure there were so many apartments out there, so many duplexes, so many low-income housing. That's fine, but it costs $30,000 to $50,000 to hire a consultant to do that. And if you look at the... we already do it. It's remember, folks, during this Black Lives Matter, it's all of this revolution. Towns in North Platte size and smaller towns across the country didn't have any problem. We get along.
Mm-hmm.
We're way past races. We just don't. It's the cities where it exists and strives.
And the demonstrations we had here in Lincoln County were extremely peaceful, and it was handled the way that the rest of the world should handle issues like that.
Yeah, they were just making a, I don't know, united and say that's what we do and that's who we are and it should be done everywhere else. But I didn't hear anybody saying it was being that existed in North Platte.
No.
So anyway, most of us don't care what color you are or what race or where your origin is. We're all proud of where we came from, but that's a personal thing. Yeah. But anyway, I'm bringing an amendment to bring that back. They took it down to every city over 20,000 people, and that threw in six or seven cities that Kearneys, the Columbuses, Fremonts, Norfolks, that have to spend money to create a plan. But if you look at the development they were planning out there, the West Day out there on that 50 or 60 acres, that spot out there, if you look at that plan, it has low-income housing, it has duplexes in it, it has apartment complexes. We already do it. We understand that we're not all where we come from. There's people who don't make $200,000 a year and afford a $300,000 house. So we build to what we need, and we don't need any state government law telling us what to do. We do it. But anyway, they're going to be flight. They're very wealthy. You start zoning inside the city, you know what they're going to do. Until they have to live next to a tenement or something, they're going to go build out in the country to avoid it. As always, the free market does what it does. So I told Senator Wayne and Senator Hansen, Matt Hansen, that I'm bringing it in, not against their bill, the LB 44. I'm just trying to fix an injustice in the legislation to pass in the past. But I don't know if it'll go anywhere, but if it doesn't, I'll bring a bill next year to try to change it. But just like I did the rail park, you bring an amendment a year, make people think for a year over time, and then bring it as a bill next year. But
sure.
So, but we're running out of time to get things done. I got a year and a half to get it done and then ride off into the sunset. But anything going on back there?
Well, a lot of debate and conversation held last week on firearms and registering of firearms and concealed carries. Anything that you're up on with that, Senator Groney? I don't think anything came out of any committees that you sit on, but it was kind of interesting.
Who's on the committees? I'd lock it up there. You don't understand why they were so adamant of getting rid of me as a chair, the left, is because controlling the committees is where you stop things or get things to the floor. That's the first plug in the dike. And they've been successful. They have a 4-4 government committee, 5-3 judiciary committee. So you can talk to your blue in your face and drink coffee around the table and talk about the Second Amendment as you want in the state of Nebraska. But you can't get it out of the committee. So I really don't pay attention to much of those bills because I know what the committee is made up of, and you're just not going to get them on the floor.
Sure.
Not right, good. And rural Nebraska can look themselves in the face because it was some rural senators who went along with that. Left to create a committee, who's on what committee and who the chairs are. So it is what it is. So Senator Brewer can try to do whatever he can, and he's a good man as chairman of the government committee, but there's none of those gun bills coming out. We're hoping we can make a deal, and I hate that word, but get his sovereignty for counties on the Second Amendment bill out of that committee, but I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. The only other thing that I had for you today, Mike, was Senator Linehan's LB 681, the bill that would allow tax benefits for K-12 tuition. This is the same measure that Senator Linehan's had on the table for a little while, isn't it?
I thought it was 3-something. What number did you say it was?
LB 681.
Anyway, I won't argue numbers with you, but I thought it was a 300 number this year. But anyway, yeah, I'm fully on board. I co-signed it. We got to get kids out of public schools. And I'm nothing against public schools, but we got to give options. This is America.
Yeah.
We got to allow parents to decide where their kids go. I mean, we've found nobody wants to talk about it. When you start packing 2,000 to 3,000 kids in one school building, that's a problem for me. I mean, it should never been concentrated that. But, kids need personal attention. They don't get it in those crammed-in buildings and whatever you want to talk about, COVID or whatever. But parents need options, and we need to be, if somebody wants to donate and help some kid get an education, we ought to allow that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's absolutely foolishness, you know. Think about this. If we wouldn't because the Postal Service is so important, I know we don't let people do mail, but package UPS and FedEx would never exist. But there's this arrogance with the public education establishment and their government employees, which they don't want to admit, that those children belong to them. It's a sadness. It's sickening, actually. They have no right to decide where a child or even open their mouths about where a child or the opportunity a parent has an opportunity to send their children to school. But you wouldn't believe it. That's why they went after me. I mean, I can get in the for topics, but the reality is I've learned that it has little to do with the kid learning math, science. It's about social engineering. It's about teaching them what they should believe socially. It's about driving a wedge between people. We identify, we have identity politics, and what your color is. They're teaching the kids that, and then they riot in the streets. It's not about how God made us all equally, and we're all the same as human beings. So I am not a fan of the present operation and the present university system of educating our teachers. I'm not a fan. So I'm going to do everything I can to broaden the opportunities for children and where to go to school. They learn.
Well, like you said, Senator Groney, this is America. You're supposed to have options. It's the land of opportunity.
No liberty. Personal liberty. We are being attacked that if we're not an individual, we're a pack. We're a part of a clan. We everything socially you do, you got to do it the way the pack decides, and you can't do individual decisions anymore. You know, I was just talking to my wife this morning, reading attacks about the COVID and on the mask mandate and how you got to be part of the team and you got to do all of this stuff. They don't listen to science and they don't care. It's about conformity. Explain to me to this, just the plain science of it. Which institutions follow the rules more than anything? Assisted living homes. Visitors couldn't come in. The employees wore masks. The employees were tested. They kept 6 feet apart. They took these elderly people and isolated them in their rooms. Where did COVID kill the most people? Where did all of that stuff fail? In our assisted living homes. Explain that to me. That's science. That's fact. They just deny it. All of these precautions didn't work. And they used it to the T in those places. So I'm confused. I'm confused because you can't say those things without being attacked, that you're not part of the anthill, that you cannot be a reasonable, deductive reasoning individual with common sense and wisdom. You have to follow the mantra. There's a saying in the Bible that says, not only do they do these things, they approve of those who do them. And if we ain't living that today, I don't know what we are. But anyway, I'm preaching now. But nobody wants to talk about those facts. Anyway, anything else going on? I got a couple of things to get done before I can leave, but
not a lot going on here, Senator Groney. Is there anything else that you wanted to add this morning?
No, we start debate, like I said, and I'll be on the mic when I need to be to say what's right or if I believe it's right, and get ready for the slings and arrows. So we will talk to you next week.
All right.
Thank you, Senator Groney. Good to talk to you. Safe travels. We'll